John Cruise suggested the title for this. I was a little more mundane in my title. So the emphasis, however, in the presentation will be to redefine disability for public health. Most all of us in public health, and particularly those who are at this conference, see ourselves as kind of, we're here to be on the cutting edge. We're here to know what's new, what's happening, and that's a part of who we are as professionals. Defining disability, however, is something a little more difficult for us because in most public health, disability is the third negative outcome after morbidity and mortality. So what I want to try to do is to say to you, let's look at disability a little differently as it relates to public health. Public health has almost solely been on, as we've just gotten through hearing, preventing the conditions that are associated with limitations and disabilities. The problem is that regardless of our primary prevention efforts, we're going to continue to have folks fall through or breach that primary prevention net. And those folks we have labeled disabled. By the way, the rest of my presentation I could parallel with a presentation on children and adolescents with disabilities. This is going to focus more on adults, but just know if you're an MCH person or whatever that we could do the same kinds of policies and data and statistics that we're doing with adults. Disability, in fact, is a complex phenomenon, and the most important thing to hear first is that it's an interaction between the person and the environment. This is probably as important an idea as we will present in order to redefine disability. The definitions of disability are varied, and in fact, if you're like most of us, we use the word disability in four or five different ways according to who we're talking to and what we're talking about. So there is really a difficulty at times in clarifying even for ourselves what we mean by disability. We can mean a diagnosis, i.e. the disability of a spinal cord injury or cerebral palsy. We can refer to a functional problem related to mobility. We can talk about a disability in work. So it's really a participation in society. Truth is, folks many times with disabilities would say all they have is just a body function problem, and in fact the disability is in the environment. That if the environment were what it should be, there would be no disabling occurring. I'm talking about two different perspectives here related to disability. One is disability as a minority population. Most any of the data that we'll talk about says about 20% of folks live with a disability. But that group experiences marginalization and stigma, else we wouldn't need the Americans with Disabilities Act or the 2007 UN Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. So it's clear that that approach is relevant. But there's another approach, which is that disability is a universal phenomenon. It can happen to any of us at any time without us being willing or interested or volunteering. So, and that's the approach taken by a new WHO classification, which I think is a unifying framework. It's called the International Classification of Functioning Disability in Health. Now, most everything that we do in public health orients around diagnoses, particularly around prevention, the International Classification of Diseases. What ICF does is it complements the ICD by addressing function. It's a functional classification. It does not care what the etiology is or the disease is. It's interested in the functional characteristics of the individual. It doesn't classify the person, but the domains. The see, I don't have as spiffy a slides as either Moline or our informatics person. So when I get one that I can pull from WHO, I just feel so spiffy. But you will see, this is the WHO family of international classifications, and you have ICD, and they're ICD-10, and they're working on 11, even though we're still working in the U.S. for ICD-9. But then you have the ICF, and there is, you'll see on the right bottom, an adaptation or a revision of now the ICF that's just come out for children and youth. The aims of the ICF sound pretty good from a public health standpoint: to provide a scientific basis for consequences, to establish a common language, to permit comparisons of data across countries for healthcare discipline services, and to provide a systematic coding scheme for health information systems. This paradigm that was passed in 2001, approved by the World Health Assembly, shows a health condition, which is usually an ICD code there first, and then body function, that is at the body level, personal activities, and then social participation, all being influenced by environmental factors and personal factors. And you see, I'm more auditory than I am visual, and every time I see these things start where the arrows start going everywhere on the visual stuff, I know you visual people think that's cool. I don't get a lot out of it because it just makes me confused. But what you saw there was that there are interactions among the various functional areas. Body functions are generally going to be focused on things like respiratory system, neuromuscular system, etc. The activities, however, in participation are much more down to earth: self-care, mobility, controlling behavior. Participation restrictions are things that happen in the community, work, school, etc. And then there are environmental factors. Now, the point is that there is coding for all of these areas by ICF. So I just want you to see that that's kind of a bridge or a foundation for public health, both clinical use and public health use. But I want to talk just a minute about why it is that disability is able to be a part of public health. Any new emerging public health interest should be grounded in the foundations of the core field. For public health, that means epidemiology, health services, environmental health, ethics, etc., those things that are core to our public health curriculum. The conceptual and practice-based relationship should be established, in this case, between public health and disability, but the core discipline ought to be stretched, as it is in genomics, as it is with our informatics emphasis, and so we have to refine or redefine aspects of the field. Function, environment, and health are all terms and are all ideas in public health that, in fact, the disability field will help broaden and expand and stretch those. So disability is cross-cutting. Muin already showed you what most of us use from that Future of Public Health IOM report, which is the basic public health functions of assessment, policy development, and assurance. And you'll see that that case definition, which we've already talked about being difficult for disability, is crucial, and that divergent definitions create different prevalence rates. But in fact, we are coming, and I'll talk just a minute about some coalescing ideas and activities. Policy Development in Healthy People 2010, Chapter 6, is all about disability and preventing secondary conditions. The UN Standard Rules for the Equalization of Opportunity is clearly policy-oriented, but we'll talk about that in relationship to public health and people with disabilities. In 2007, even though the U.S. will not sign it, the UN Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities was passed. You can ask me about that afterward. Under assurance, there are several kinds of approaches: clinical preventive services, public health messages, the disability programs, and then secondary conditions prevention. The disability and health team at CDC, the National Center on Birth Defects and Developmental Disability, developed a chart book on trends in disability for all states using BRFSS data that just came out last year. And so you look at the different prevalence rates according to states, and that's really important information, I think, on assessment. The health interview survey talks about another part of the disability issue, which relates to the minority population, which is disparities. And you'll see there the difference in rates of depression, obesity, and physical activity among people with and without disabilities. In addition, you have caregiving survey that was given to that shows that there are 53 million caregivers, unpaid services at $300 billion a year. That's a public health issue. We heard this morning in one of the disability sessions on personal assistance and the importance that that has and as a public health issue also. That's the chart book. United Nations Statistical Division in 1990 published the first international disability data from 55 countries. You will notice the prevalence rates range from 0.7 to 19.4. If you ask a question on a census, is there anyone in the household who's deaf, dumb, or blind, you might get a relatively low percentage of folks. So that's what the low incidence usually, where the U.S. usually uses a more activity limitation, self-care, mobility, etc., for defining folks with disabilities. There is also, UNSD has put out the Disability Statistics Guidelines. There has recently been an emphasis on a more unified global approach to definition of disability, that is more activity limitation approach that began with a work group at the UN and is now in called the it's a UN Washington City group. It uses person-level activity limitations to frame the items, and you want to separate. One of the things that's happened because we integrate the definition of disability with the outcomes, that is, do you have a limitation that keeps you from working? Many people with disabilities will answer that no, because in fact it's not their physical condition that they believe keeps them from working. It is in fact the lack of environmental accommodations. People like Stephen Hawking and Franklin Roosevelt could probably speak to that issue. So that issue of separating in our public health work the data related to who is disabled and not using participation outcomes that we will then use for outcome research to show any disparities in work, voting, going out for activities, etc. And then we need to emphasize environmental factors that are affecting the involvement or participation of people with disabilities. In terms of policy, the Washington City Group said the reason we're going to do this disability data work that comes from a public health standpoint is to talk about equalizing opportunities for people with disabilities. Now, folks in public health might rightly say, or at least they feel rightly say, gee, what's that got to do with health? The equalization of opportunities, however, talks about a breadth of things, including access to health care, when in fact and rehabilitation, etc., at that level. There are some other things that I'll talk about in just a minute that don't include that. Healthy People 2010, as I've said, is clearly a policy document that includes objectives that do have data, and in fact over 100 objectives in Healthy People 2010 have disability status as a demographic variable along with age and sex and ethnicity, etc. Now I want to talk about just a little bit the other side of this, which is that the disability community has avoided dealing with health as integral to their lives often because they have an approach avoidance relationship with medicine and by association public health. Americans with Disabilities studiously avoided health. The new UN convention does not include health. People with disabilities were included there and struggled with including health as a part of that disability. So there's work to be done between those two communities. But on the other hand, the public health folks equate disability with poor health. And that's not true. You look at the data that we've just seen, that two-thirds of the folks report good or better health. That is, people who are defined as having a disability. So our public health role is, one of our public health roles is to improve the health of the population, preventing secondary conditions. One of the things we don't know when we look at people who are hospitalized, people with disabilities who are hospitalized, is how much of that medical expense could have been prevented if there had been good prevention for secondary conditions. So the public health community must see people with disabilities as a targeted population, and with that, those activity limitations being a risk factor for additional health and well-being problems. Secondary conditions prevention should be a public health priority, and those two communities need to work together. As we said earlier, I had this slide different this morning. It said SPIG or section, and so I was able to change it to say disability section. But for those of you who have been involved in APHA, in 2004, there was a specific policy voted on by APHA to conduct disability and environmental surveillance, standardize disability-related identifiers, support training students, ensure that people with disabilities can receive public health programs and services. Anybody know the current status of that? Those of you who are from the disability section cannot answer. A third policy emphasis is a new IOM report called The Future of Disability in America. It just came out about 2 months ago. It talks about adopting and refining the ICF, funding a program of research, improving accessibility of healthcare facilities, and developing educational programs. I can't pass assurance as that assessment policy and assurance without talking about poverty and people with disabilities. It's a big deal in public health, and we know that so many times health is related to poor resources. But it is also clear that of the poorest of the poor often are people with disabilities, and they are not often represented in our international development organizations and activities. A Canadian study just 2 years ago said among those experiencing the worst income inequity are children with disabilities or children with parents who have disabilities. So all of our talk about public health and poverty and how we can, that ought to be a focus for us. We need to understand that people with disabilities are right in the thick of that. We have to have, and so another part of assurance for people with disabilities, as it is with others, but particularly with people with disabilities, is if you have the service but you can't get to it, you're in trouble. And transportation, physical accessibility to the services, policies and system that finance those services, and frankly the attitudes of professionals that often continue to disrespect the experience of living with a disability. Health messages, primary prevention messages, often do not include people with disabilities. Stuff like physical activity for those with mobility concerns who often have more obesity, you don't see public health messages with people in wheelchairs being a part of that message. But the most important public health message for all of us, including with people with disabilities, is personal responsibility for your health. The clinical preventive services are often overlooked by specialists. The specialist will see someone with a disability and say, you know, it's not my responsibility, it's a family physician. A person with a disability may not have a family physician, or it may be difficult to get to there. What we know is that studies indicate that people with disabilities are at a greater risk of developing smoking-related cancers, not diagnosed as soon, and in fact, treatment is often delayed. By the way, that's a an adjustable mammogram machine, which you don't have very many of for women to get clinical preventive services mammograms. There are disability programs. Living well with a disability is really important, and 15 states have implemented that program to improve the health and reduce secondary conditions. It's also being paid for with Medicaid payments in a couple of states, so it has some backing. The community-based rehab I won't talk about, it's the WHO program. The last thing I want to talk about here is the training. In order for disability to move forward as an integral part of public health, we have to have young folks who are being trained in disability. One of the things we've found in our state programs is good young public health folks may come out and they get in the disability program because it doesn't have much status. As soon as you see that you're any good, you move out of it and you go into AIDS or cardiovascular disease or cancer or whatever. Nothing wrong with that, but in fact, there needs to be training enough, and there are folks that are doing these things. The University of Florida has a disability EPI course that's being taught, I think, once a year. Oregon Health and Sciences has developed a course in disability and public health, and we're also hopefully completing a reference book. H.L. Mencken said, for every complex problem, there's a simple, neat solution that won't work. Disability is not simple, even though our notion of it is just another negative consequence. It doesn't equal poor health, and people with disabilities need to be the next minority group to be targeted for public health interventions. Thank you.